The corridors back to the reception room were fairly quiet. Mara saw perhaps a dozen black-uniformed chiss on her way, and most of them pretty much ignored her. Not surprisingly, the reception room was deserted when she reached it. Somewhat more surprising was the fact that the loose cable that had nearly hit Luke had already been reattached. She stood just inside the archway for a moment, eyeing the cable. It was nestled into a cable groove between the ceiling and the bulkhead, a good 6 meters off the deck. That wasn't an impossible jump for a Jedi, but a simple jump wouldn't accomplish very much. But there might be another approach. Formby had said that the reception area could be automatically reconfigured and decorated for arriving guests. It took a minute for her to find the control panel, set into the bulkhead just inside the archway and hidden behind a plate colored the same neutral gray as the rest of the paneling. The controls consisted of a dozen buttons, each labeled with an alien mark. Experimentally, she pushed one of them. Smoothly and in complete silence, the room began to change. A dozen wall sections of various sizes and shapes began to swing outward, exposing intricate symbols or painted patterns on their other sides, then settled back against the bulkheads with the patterns now showing. A minute later, it was finished. She tried two more buttons in turn. Each time, she noted, the room went back to neutral before changing into its new configuration. Unfortunately, none of the changes did anything with the cable she wanted to examine, which meant she was going to have to be clever. She went back to the first button she'd tried, studying the positions of the swinging wall panels and lowering ceiling columns and counting off the seconds to herself. It would just be possible, she decided. She put the room back into neutral and prepared herself for action. Taking a deep breath, she touched the button and ran. She caught the lowermost of the panels before it had swung more than a few degrees open, leaping up and grabbing its top edge with her fingertips. Her first fear, that it would break off under her weight and dump her ignominiously onto the deck, didn't happen. She didn't give it the chance to change its mind either, but quickly pulled herself partway up and then shoved off it, lunging toward the next panel a meter to her right. She caught the top of this one about a quarter of the way open, again pulled herself up, and again shoved off for the next in the climbing pattern she'd worked out. By the time her last stepping stone panel was about to swing closed, she was where she needed to be. Pushing off one final time, she leapt across a meter and a half of empty space and wrapped her arms around the side of the nearest of the lowered ceiling columns. And with that, she finally had a close-up view of the rogue cable. She squinted at it, wishing she thought to bring a light. The room itself was well lit, but the end where the cable had been reattached to its connector was inconveniently lying in shadow from the ceiling column she was hanging onto. Looking awkwardly over her shoulder toward her waist, she reached out through the force and unhooked her lightsaber from her belt. Levitating it carefully, she maneuvered it over to the corner, turning the handle over so that the blade would be pointing safely downward. Then, eyeing the stud, she ignited it. The lightsaber didn't put out all that much light, but it was enough. The cable had not, in fact, been cut, which had been her first suspicion. On the other hand, the connection appeared to be a double screw-type linkage, which was almost impossible for vibration or tension to work loose. So how had it come apart? She was working through the possibilities when a flicker of sensation touched her mind. Instantly, she closed down the lightsaber, shutting off its gentle hum. In the sudden silence, she could hear footsteps coming her way. Reaching out her free hand, she grabbed her lightsaber and reestablished a firm two-armed, two-kneed grip on the column. Then, moving as quickly as she could, she started maneuvering herself around toward the far side. She was almost halfway around when the intruders marched in beneath the archway. She froze in place, shifting her gaze downward to look. As she did so, her heart seemed to turn to stone.